Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. All right, the Amityville horror killer, Ronald DeFeo, dead in prison at the age of 69. You know, this is the guy who killed his family in the house. And, boy, he killed his whole family. So his mom, his dad.
Ugh.
And two brothers, two sisters. They were 18, 13, 12, and 9.
I remember the news day that next morning had the picture of him in front of the house and everything being led away.
He was 23 years old then. At trial, his lawyer said he was crazy and he heard voices saying his family was plotting against him.
Ugh.
A year after the slaughter, George and Kathy Lutz purchased a home, but left 28 days later after reporting paranormal activity in the house, including strange sounds, voices, and green slime oozing from the walls. The creepy events is the inspiration for the 1977 book, The Amityville Horror. 2 years later, they made a movie out of it. And the Warrens visited that house. Tony Spear is on right now, son-in-law of the Warrens. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Jess, how you doing?
Hey.
Morning, Tony.
What's the deal with that place? What was Ed and Lorraine's experience there?
Well, they had a lot of experiences there, starting when they first were contacted by Channel 5, Marvin Scott at Channel 5, and they were called into the house. But back then, you know, remember that to them, to Ed and Lorraine, it was just another house. It wasn't the Amityville Horror. It was just another case they were going on, another investigation. But when they went in there, though, the first thing that Lorraine encountered was the sense of pure evil in the house. It was the first thing she said she reported when she was walking through the hallway and going up the stairs trying to discern, you know, what was happening in the house. They had a priest in there with them, and of course, you remember the movie when a voice yelled to the priest, "Get out," and that was true. The priest heard a voice telling him to get out and was slapped in the face. And the priest left the house and didn't come back.
I thought it was James Brolin, dad character, who was told to get out from the house.
No, it was the priest, actually.
Because there was flies in the windows, remember?
Yeah.
Okay. And there was flies in the sewing room, on the windows.
It's
that would all
coming back to me now.
Yep.
That would all. But, you know, Ronald DeFeo, the one who died in prison, on November 13th, 1974, is when he did this. He woke up approximately, they say, around 3:15 in the morning. We're not positive exactly. He got up and grabbed a Marlin rifle. I believe it was a 35 caliber. I'm not positive. It was a powerful weapon. And he walked throughout the house and slaughtered the whole family. He shot the two sisters, the two brothers, once in the back of the head, and then he shot his mother in the back of the head. And he shot his father twice, so that was 7 shots with a high-powered rifle.
And they were all sleeping, right? Didn't he drug them first?
Yeah, I don't know. That they never determined.
Seems weird that no one would wake up with all that gunfire
after the first shot. Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, you know, when you have a shot like that from a high-powered gun echoing throughout the house, you know, you would figure that somebody would jump up, you know, right. But that didn't happen. They're all found down their stomachs, which was pretty abnormal in the first. You know, when you think about it, all found on their stomachs dead. And so what did Ronald DeFeo do after that? He went back to sleep, and then in the morning he just got up and went to work as if nothing had ever happened. So, and when the lawyer said he was crazy, he's probably right, because, you know, he just kept changing his story. Like, even years later, he then changed his story to, well, I didn't do it. My sister did it. She went and killed everybody, and I went and shot my sister. He just kept making up different stories. So he spent, you know, 6 25 to life terms. And he started out at Cannamora prison in New York. And I don't know where he ended up, what prison he was in, but I think they changed him to a few prisons. But, you know, he died at 69 years old, I guess a few days ago. And, you know, there's nothing really good I could say about Ronald DeFeo Jr., except that I believe he was mentally of course, mentally ill.
No sane
person can do that.
No, I agree. And they haven't announced the cause of death yet.
Right.
So
right.
The Warrens come in not after this, but after the next owners.
Yeah. About a year later, George Lutz moved in. Kathy Lutz and George and the young children moved into the house. And George bought the house. Some people say it was $50,000. Other people say it was $80,000. But it's like a three-story house on beautiful property. And he got it relatively cheap for what he was getting, and he had a nice lake in the background, in the back, and a boathouse. And when he moved in, his personality would almost immediately started to change. But the thing you have to remember, a lot of people say, "Well, George was a kook. The place that was a hoax. They made it all up." No, they did not make this story up. One of the lawyers said, or one of the reporters or the lawyers said that. I think it was the lawyer said that. Oh, we concocted this story. We said we had a whole bottle of many bottles of wine that night before. We concocted that story. We made this whole thing up. That was not true. I don't know why anybody would say that, because George didn't even drink. And so the thing is, George was a regular guy. He was a former Marine. He was a black belt in karate. He was a motorcycle guy. He was a regular stern, rough, tough kind of character. He wasn't a wimp. But when he moved into that house and brought all his belongings with him, 28 days later, he was driven from that house by some kind of a force in there that changed his personality, that made him want to flee the house with his family. In fact, when Ed and Lorraine met this man, the first encounter they ever had with George Lutz through the reporter was at a pizza place about 5 or 6 blocks away from the Amityville house. He did not want to meet Ed and Lorraine at the house. He wouldn't go to the house. And when they were at the location at the pizza place, Ed was sitting across. He and Lorraine were sitting across from George Lutz. And Ed said, "Well, Mr. Lutz, tell me what happened in your house." And George, must have mistakenly thought Ed was psychic, not Lorraine. He looks at Ed and points at him with a serious look and says, "Well, you know. And Ed says, "No, I don't know, Mr. Lutz. Tell me what happened." And he just looked at Ed again. He says, "You know." And then Ed said, "Well, why don't we go? I'll go to the house and we'll check it out and see what's going on." George Lutz stood up and he pulled his house keys out of his pocket and he handed them to Ed and says, "You go. I'm not going with you." And then when Ed was leaving, he said, "Well, just do me a favor. Just get me the deed from the drawer in the house, will you?" He would not go back to that location.
Wow.
So to say the thing was a hoax, the guy had to be a pretty darn good actor, because the guy was like, nervous the whole time I spoke to him about going back to the house. He wouldn't do it.
And yeah. What happened when the Warrens went to the house in Amityville?
So the Warrens went to the house and they encountered a lot of things. Now, they didn't see a lot of things. It wasn't like you saw things exploding in front of you or anything like that. It was the feeling that you had. Now, when Ed, though, was walking down in the basement, he said, "Lorraine, you're going to walk through the house. Okay, I'll let you. You go do that with, the reporters and the camera guys following her." He said, "I'm going to go walk around the house myself. I think I'll go down in the basement while you're going upstairs." So Ed went into the basement area. And in the basement, there was, a couple of washing machines and a couple of dryers. It was a big basement. And a large open-door freezer. So Ed was checking out all the stuff down there. He opens the freezer up. He sees all the food. Now, remember, the Lutzes had already fled, but everything was left as it was when they left. They didn't take anything with them, the Lutzes. So while he was down there, Ed reported that he came under what he called diabolical attack. What that was he felt as if something had taken like a hot, wet, or woolen blanket and threw it on top of him and forced him down to the basement floor.
Yeah.
And that's what happened to Ed. He fell onto the floor feeling like he was being suffocated. And what Ed had to do was use what's known as religious resistance. He knew when that happened to him that it was something demonic. It wasn't a human-type spirit roaming around the house. There's earthbound spirits that can linger in a house after someone passes away. That was not it. A human spirit could never do that to someone. And so he was forced down to the ground, felt like he was suffocating, and he said he had to repeatedly in his mind, because he couldn't even yell out, keep saying, in the name of Jesus Christ and the blood of Christ, I command you to leave. Go back to where you came from. In the name of Jesus, over and over. And he said, finally, after several minutes, the thing lifted, and he was able to stand up and walk back upstairs all shaken. So those are the kind of events that happen. You know, a haunted house isn't like the movies. It's this sense of dread. It's a feeling of being watched. It's being touched. It's your name being called. It's cold spots in the house. It's things that change your personality. We're at once happy family. Now they're arguing and at each other's throats all the time. That's the kind of thing that happens in a truly haunted house.
The one thing I remember from the Amityville horror movie was sitting there in the theater, and when the house said, get out, I thought to myself, well, why wouldn't you?
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, first it whispered it, then it yelled it. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, no problem.
Right.
You know, any normal person would think the same way.
Time
know?
To go.
Right, it's bad time. Okay.
But yeah. the thing that gets you about that is, you know, a lot of families who report having a haunted house, you know, a lot of people just can't move. They're, financially, they're not able to. They can't go stay and spend $120, $150.
That's a good point.
At a hotel.
Seriously.
There might be a family with young children, and they're just about getting by, and all of a sudden he says, why don't you just move out and buy another house? It's not like that easy.
At that point in the movie, though, I'll sleep out in a car.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I'm going to be out here in the parking lot.
And in the
like
driveway,
miles away.
Maybe in the street.
Right. Yeah. I got to go.
Yeah. Who's up for camping?
Was the priest on the staircase when the blood was coming out the walls?
I don't recall. I don't recall that at all. But the thing that you got to remember, too, like I said before, guys.
Can you find that? Part of the movie, Phil, like the clip, like Get Out from Amityville Horror. We're talking to Tony Spear, you know, with the Warrens.
Yeah.
And you got to remember this, guys, that the blood oozing, the slime going down the walls, all of that stuff is stuff that happens through what we call telepathic hypnosis. In other words,
it's not really happening, but you believe it is.
You're visioning it, yes.
You know.
Oh, wow.
Chaz, AJ, Tony, we all go to the house, and we're standing there, and all of a sudden, AJ goes...
Hold on. I'm going to be outside the house.
Right.
So, well, AJ and Tony are in the house.
Okay, I'm about to see something.
Chaz is behind the wheel of the car, and the car is running. Go ahead.
All of a sudden, AJ goes, look at that ghost in the corner, and he's all scared and everything. And he goes, I'm getting out of here. And you and me go, well, wait a second. There's nothing there. What it is through telepathic hypnosis, whatever is there is projecting its image to AJ.
Thank you.
Wants AJ to see it.
Right.
But he doesn't want us to see him. He wants only AJ. Why is
that? Do they
that?
Go after the weakest brain?
Yeah. Why is that? It's because it wants to make AJ look foolish.
Oh.
So when AJ turns to his buddy Chaz and goes, hey, look at that ghost. And Chaz and Tony are scratching their head going, something's wrong with AJ. You know, there's no ghost here.
And Phil is mocking AJ.
Same thing, it's to make one of the family members perhaps look like they're making up the whole story and it's not really happening.
Wow.
This is the tricks that the demonic or the entity that's there tries to play on people.
Right,
when George Lutz looks and sees that the staircase blew up,
he believes it,
and all the spindles on the staircase exploded and just fell into a pile, and nobody else saw it because when the investigators come in later and go, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, you guys said that the staircase blew up. It's perfectly intact.
Yeah.
All right, I have a question or two. I got to go.
But hypnosis.
Before we go, I have a couple questions, but I want to play the scene from Amityville Horror.
Oh, go ahead.
All right. Meep.
And he left immediately.
Yeah.
You'd hear, get out.
Yeah, that's pretty scary.
That is scary.
Right.
I'm scared just hearing him. Even in the theater.
Another demonic thing came out of my ass.
Tony Spear is on. I don't have time for a long answer, but, you know, everybody saw the refrigerator and things moving in Bridgeport.
Right. 966 Lindley Street.
Yeah.
the police, the police officers, who were very credible witnesses.
Whole another power.
They wrote reports. We have a couple of police reports that from the patrolman that went there, and one patrolman said he went into the house to back up his partner, and they were one of the first police officers there, and he walked in the house and he saw a crucifix fall off the wall. He saw a picture just fall off
right.
the wall.
Right. So my question is, Amityville, George imagined all this stuff because the spirit was putting it in his head. But
right.
Bridgeport was a whole different level, right? Because they were actually doing something. Like everybody was seeing stuff.
Bridgeport was tremendous. In
different
fact,
level.
Bridgeport was tremendous because.
Well, I got a roll. I wanted to talk to you about Amityville because the murder guy died.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dead.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming on, Tony. We'll talk to you real soon. Let's examine the name here.
Okay. Oh boy.
You got Kentucky?
Yep.
Yep.
You got fried.
Great.
Right.
And chicken.
Exactly. It's not KFV.
It's KF
vegetable.
Right.
Fried chicken.
Chicken.
Two of the three words in the name of the restaurant. Fried chicken.
Chicken.
I don't want chicken though.
So if you're vegan and you're saying, where do you want to go to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't know. I want to eat vegan. Let's go to Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Great.
KFC sounds nice.
She's a pescatarian. What is that?
Only fish and vegetables.
Oh. Like a pescatarian.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah, yep.
Now. Okay.
She's a pescatarian.
Pescatarian.
You say it your way, I'll say it mine.
Your way is wrong.
She was visiting the place hoping that she could choose from a vegetarian option.
Yeah. Nope, not there.
You know what their option is? Go someplace else.
KFT.
That would be the brilliant menu to have there. Can I look at your vegetarian menu? Yeah. And then it's the name of every restaurant around town
exactly.
that serves that food. Here it is.
Yeah. This is the one that takes care
with the address and phone number.
Takes care of a pain in the ass like you.
Yeah,
do they even offer like a fish item?
No,
I don't think so.
Chicken. Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Chicken.
Yeah.
Chicken.
It's chicken.
There's chicken. There's potatoes. There's coleslaw.
You can have all the sides.
Oh, a biscuit.
Potatoes
a
and
biscuit.
Biscuits. Yeah.
The coleslaw. Right. What's wrong? Now, shut your pie hole, right? You got coleslaw. You
mac
got mashed
cheese.
Potatoes.
Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese.
Yes.
Beans.
Yep.
Yeah, shut up,
too.
Fish face.
Yeah.
Shut your face.
Shut up there.
Chicken.
She told local media it was absolutely disgraceful that the KFC store had no vegetarian options on the menu. Quote, we are all going to treat ourselves as a household to a family bargain bucket and also a vegetarian meal for myself. When my partner got to the till and ordered, they unfortunately said we haven't got any vegan or vegetarian options on the menu anymore. I thought that was absolutely disgraceful.
The fact you're around all this time, not knowing about Kentucky Fried Chicken, is disgraceful.
They say the chicken place didn't give a reason. Quote, they were quite rude to my partner.
What would they have to say?
I think it's disgusting because there's more and more people becoming vegan and vegetarian these days.
Well, okay.
Go someplace else.
Yeah. We like our chicken here.
Now, if KFC didn't have fried chicken, that would be disgraceful.
Yes.
You're calling yourself a fried chicken place and you have no fried chicken?
Exactly.
What?
Huh? In 1995, if you called a media outlet and told them you went to KFC and there were no vegan options, you would hear what we described as in 1995 as a dial tone.
Yep.
Click.
What media outlet hears this story says, let's go. We're going to quote you. All right, give us a quote.
We're over there. We're going to handle this.
KFC doesn't have vegetarian menu. Hey, Jenny, get out there. Get on this story.
Right.
If you're a vegan, you must be used to not having anything to eat. I mean, your scope of what you can eat is so damn limited.
I went there for pancakes.
Which decade produced all of these idiots? Where'd they come from?
I want to say
they just all of a sudden It was like a garden of weeds. They just...
I want to say it began in the early 90s.
They didn't trickle in. It wasn't like,
no.
Oh, there's a weed. There's a weed. Yep. There's a weed. It was all of a sudden, you right? can't do anything.
Exactly.
You can't say anything.
Yep.
You can't listen to this song. And why doesn't KFC have vegetables? Where'd they come from?
Who dis?
It's like the invasion of the body snatchers.
Truth.
It's like I woke up, I'm like, wait a minute. I didn't even take a vacation from the planet and come back. I've been here the whole time.
What?
It's true, though, that their entire menu, like all the meals, are just chicken.
As it should be.
There's no, like, but they, like they have popcorn shrimp. They used to have that. That's gone. So that's not on the menu anymore. You can't get the shrimp. Their sides
okay.
are mashed potatoes, gravy, mashed potatoes and gravy, whole kernel corn,
yep.
secret recipe fries, the biscuit, mac and cheese, and coleslaw.
There's plenty there for them.
Yes.
Plenty.
Exactly.
And this is where did these people come from where you think you could walk into a business and say it's disgraceful that they decided to do business their way?
This place was the...
Wait. You mean you have nothing here for me?
What?
This is the place that had the double down sandwich, which
yeah.
was the most carnivore sandwich ever,
right.
where two pieces of chicken were, you know, sandwiching bacon and cheese.
I really want KFC right now. The chicken part.
Here's a sitcom that'll never be made. The Pioneer and the Snowflake.
Nice.
Can you imagine that? Like The Odd Couple, but it's a pioneer, right? Somehow this snowflake gets beamed back in time to pioneer days.
Oh, yeah.
I'm on a vegetable meal.
Okay, here's some seeds. Go plant them.
Right.
See in 8 months, maybe.
Yeah, right.
Unless we have bad weather, and then you're not having any of it.
I'm cold. I'm in a house. Here's an axe. Go cut down some trees and make it.
I'm thinking by day two, they're fertilizer.
Who plays the snowflake in this made-up TV show?
I don't know. Someone with skinny jeans.
Who are the actors?
Right.
And a fake beard.
Right.
You know those beards? It's like, you're not a mountain man, so relax, okay?
Right. With the flannel shirt with the buttoned all the way to the top.
Right. I'm a mountain man. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're a mountain man, all right.
Yep. You have no chest hair.
Do you have a bottle of rosé?
That hasn't been invented yet.
Exactly. What's a bottle?
I have some grapes. We squish them with our feet, and then we drink it.
Right.
When it becomes weird.
Could you wash your feet first?
I just, like, really need a cocktail.
Appletini.
Where's the gender-neutral outhouse? Haven't made one yet.
We got one toilet.
I could still go for a latte.
My head's cold. All right, yeah, put on this dead animal.
Right.
You haven't even taken the tail off. That's right. It's in style.
The gut works is still inside.
You want me to wear these shoes? They don't even match.
Right. And they have buckles on them.
Right. Those are kind of in style now.
I guess.
Yeah.
Very trendy.
Do we have a environmentally friendly car? Yeah. It's called a horse. Get
yep.
on it.
It's a wagon. Yep.
Oh, please, someone make this show. Please. Ugh.
Can you make it? It sounds great. I'd watch.
All they got to do is bring Snowflake to an Amish country. That's it. That's the closest we got.
Yeah.
Have them build a barn.
No, I like the time machine thing because it's real. Because these people, the pioneers, wouldn't know anything that's happening in the future. It's like,
right.
This is life here. Sorry.
Well,
where do we take a bath? Go down to the stream. It's cold, right?
Do you have like a Snuggie I can use after?
Yeah.
I would think the moment they saw this person come from the future, they'd probably kill him thinking it was a demon.
Don't go back that far.
That's true. His head would be on a pole somewhere.
They would set them on fire.
That's right. You're a witch.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. You're right. The episode would last like 5 minutes. This kid gets beamed in and then they throw him down a well because they think he's a witch.
Right, the way he's dressed. Yes, exactly.
There is that.
Yes.
Yeah. The vaccine doctor, so many questions came in. I think we'll have him back on. Did he change anyone's mind?
I'm getting mine no matter what.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with AJ. I was getting mine.
Yeah.
But Ashley's not getting the Johnson & Johnson, and what the doc said did not change her mind.
Correct. Yeah. It did not. I don't want
AJ,
that one.
AJ, you're the same.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right? If you can get 95, get 95.
Yeah, I don't want Johnson &
Johnson. He mentioned the flu shot at like 40% efficacy.
40 to 60.
Yeah, but if I had a choice of getting a flu shot with a higher percent efficacy, I would choose that too.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So, there.
Actually wanted to strangle him after he got off the air.
I saw that.
I was like,
so angry.
Next time, just do it on the air.
He looks so angry.
Yeah.
I think it shocks me that you can have 70% or zero, and it seems like you'd rather choose zero.
No, I wouldn't rather choose
you
zero.
You said you wouldn't get the Johnson & Johnson.
I am determined.
If you show up, because I was supposed to get the Moderna, I showed up and they said, guess what? You're a lucky day. You get the Pfizer. I'm like, okay, lucky quotes. Is this the part of the movie where I almost escaped? I don't know.
Did you hear any dramatic
whatever.
Music
just
behind you?
Just give me whatever you got.
Yeah.
Let's just say you show up.
Mm-hmm. That's all they got.
And they say, you're a lucky day. We got the Johnson & Johnson.
Then I would play the recording of the governor saying that he ordered multiple Pfizer and Moderna.
You have that on
no,
you?
No. The place that you're... Why do I try?
I don't know.
It's like I know. Wake
it's
up every day.
It's 70 or zero.
It's like trying to teach a
right.
pig to sing.
No, you're making a choice right now. You just made an appointment. You had to wait a month. You get in line. You're waiting in line. You sit down and they say, all we have today is the Johnson & Johnson.
I would ask them when I made the appointment what the vaccine was.
You don't get to
okay.
choose
okay.
that.
Like I explained before.
Try again.
I'm going to start from the top and now try to follow as I talk slowly. So I was supposed to get the Moderna.
Yeah.
And no, I understand the situation.
No,
you
got to
listen
yes,
to understand.
No, you don't. Oh, you know what? She's going to be that person.
Yeah.
Right? Why am I doing this? She talked to a 15-year-old DJ, play the 80s. And he's like, I am playing the 80s.
Not the 80s, I know.
Right.
I would.
So you sit down.
You're going to jabber in the eyeball.
At the vaccine
in the chair.
Station.
Yes.
In the chair.
Yes.
With the right clothing on and everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Tank top, yes.
Yes. And they say, you know, we just ran out of everything except for Johnson & Johnson. We just loaded up. We got the Johnson & Johnson. Good for you. That's what you're getting today.
Here's the needle right here.
Now, what do you say?
I'll be back when you have Pfizer or Moderna.
Okay. That's all I needed.
And you get
so you're going to get up and you're going to leave.
Yep.
So your choice is zero.
First, I'm going to play the recording of the governor.
That doesn't mean anything.
He said.
It doesn't
he said,
mean anything.
He
you
said.
You go to a restaurant and they say, we're out of veal parm. Do you say, it's on your menu?
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm going to talk to the guy that gets the veal. He said.
I know your menu says you have it. Yeah, we ran out.
I know someone who grows cows.
The governor also said no tolls, okay? Pull your head in.
Get yeah. The governor said.
Pull your head out, you mean.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to leave.
Yeah.
Basically, you're going to leave. That's the answer.
Unvaccinated.
For a short time.
And do me a favor.
You don't know that.
Until.
If this happens, don't play the recording. Just leave. Because there are people behind you. Who want to get vaccinated.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Don't be like, well, the governor said.
The governor said.
You're right. Going to piss that person off, and then the next person's going to go in, can't wait to get my shot, and the needle's going to come in. You're going to go through the bone.
Yeah, right.
You're hurting me. You're hurting me. You're right. Hurting me.
Yeah? Well, you're getting your shot.
They're going to pop like a balloon because
before
of you.
Before you say anything.
Okay. So... Ashley thinks this is like a restaurant where they come up with a wine menu.
Yes.
I'm with
here's
AJ.
Here's our wine list today.
AJ's like, don't lump me.
Yeah. There's a shot with more efficacy.
I'm in a different room.
Yeah, nope. But by the time you go for your vaccine, you're going to get Johnson & Johnson too.
No, but I think AJ's the same. I think if, and it won't take as long to get to this as it did just now. But AJ, if you show up and they don't have Moderna or Pfizer.
Yep.
You're done, right?
I'm there. I have to get the shot.
Oh, you're going to get the shot.
Yeah.
He just said that because I said the other thing.
No.
Yes.
The other thing. Like, you don't even know what you just
said.
The
world doesn't revolve around Ashley.
Yeah.
I said it, so now he's saying the other thing.
Oh, so you would get the Johnson & Johnson.
If I'm there and that's all they have, then I have to get it.
Right. You're not going to say, I'm leaving. I'll make another appointment and wait another 4 weeks or whatever
no,
it is.
I want this done. We all get our shots. You know, eventually we don't have to wear masks anymore. So
yeah.
The fast we all get, go get poked, we're good.
T-shirt.
That is a T-shirt.
Thank you.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.